Good morning. I've been asked to speak, participate in the series that we're opening up this summer, and it's the Ingredients for Christian Life. And I've been asked to speak on Bible reading and memorization. And I'm kind of grateful because I think that this is a place where I really lack, and it's been an encouragement, the things that I've learned. And I hope that I can convey to you guys what I've learned in the couple of weeks of the study that I've done. The number one spiritual discipline is the intake of God's Word. And so when speaking of the Bible, it's the revelation of God's will to man. It's God speaking to us. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says it's God-breathed. The Bible is God-breathed. It's used for the teaching and the rebuking, correcting, and the training. It equips the man and woman for their daily life. And in Joshua 1:8, it says to meditate on God's Word both day and night. A few months ago, Beth and I went to a seminar by Ethan Pope, and he talked about a book that his wife had written. And Beth picked up the book, and the name of the book is His Word in My Heart. And it's been an encouragement for me because she's been studying some of the things that they teach in this book on how to memorize Scripture. And now idle moments that she had are now times for her to reflect on things that she's memorized, such as folding clothes or driving the kids around. For even anybody can do it, memorizing Scripture. You can use time when you're driving to work or when you're eating your lunch. It tells out and spells out in this book that that you can take your idle moments and use them to reflect on God's Word. So as I think back to like our daily walk, and we all have newspapers, and we see the war in Iraq, and we see things, the economy is horrible. People are losing their jobs. Daily bombardment can beat us up emotionally and on the insides. But if we start focusing things that we memorize in God's Word and apply them to our daily lives, we can have like a refreshing view. So I'll speak on a few things, but the most important thing that I want to point out is prayer. It's very important that before you start reading and studying and memorizing, you pray that the Lord will allow you to be teachable, that the Holy Spirit will work within you so that you can be teachable to what God is teaching you that day. We have to acknowledge our own ignorance. For instance, I had an intern that came to us at work, and he was with us for a few weeks, and one day I had to run out and fix something, and he said, "Tom, do you mind if I tag along with you?" So I was like, "Sure." So he came with me, and we fixed the problem, and we were walking back to our desks, and this guy comes running around the corner, and he's all white in the face, and he says to me, "Tom, the AED's SAP is down. Where's so-and-so?" And he asks me where one of these guys are, and I say, "Oh, go." He's at his desk. And so the intern says to me, "Man, Tom, you guys are like light years ahead of me. I do not understand what he said." And I said, I put my arm on his shoulder, and I said, "Rory, don't worry, because I don't know what he said either." So I can honestly admit I do know what it means now, but we have to acknowledge our own ignorance. And when we do that, we're put in a path of blessing. So prayerfully select a book before you open the Bible. Ask the Lord to point you in the right direction. Start short. Don't try to focus on reading cover to cover the Bible. Start short and journal what you've read. And you got to remember that a big job is made up of a whole bunch of little jobs. So, again, start short. So, as I was studying this, I started realizing that people have just an overwhelming view of the Bible. For instance, my Bible, I have 1,950 pages from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. That's just overwhelming when you look at it, really. I have a hard time reading, like, the sports section. But this, it's pretty in-depth. And so, yeah, when you first look at it like that, it is overwhelming. But I want to look at it as not just one book, but a series of books when you study your Bible. Another thing is the books individually aren't that big when you really think about it. I started counting pages. For instance, Matthew is 89 pages long. Mark, 38 pages. And then when I started looking at some of the epistles, it's amazing. Galatians and Philippians is only 7 pages long. We should be able to do this very simply. It takes away the fear that I'm not going to be able to read cover to cover. You don't have to do that. Just start short. So the goal today is to remove the overwhelming view of studying your Bible and memorizing God's Word. It's not overwhelming if we look at it as a short day-by-day thing. So remember, it's a divine library. It's a bunch of small little books. So to get started, how do you get started? The first and most one of the second thing is making time. First is prayer, and then you have to make time. Not what society says, not early morning. If you're not an early morning person, you don't do it early in the morning. Do it what's natural, a natural time for you. If you can do it during your lunch break, that's when you do it. If you do it when you get home from work, that's when you open God's Word. You do it at a natural time that allows you to find joy in reading God's Word. It takes away the academic, where you have to do this. You don't have to do it at a specific time. Do it at a time that's good for you. Nobody's there to force you to read God's Word. God allows us to have a will, and He allows us to do this, and He's not standing over us saying, you must do this. So what we need to do is take it and enjoy it and participate in taking God's Word. God's Word is worthy of our attention. Beth and I and Trevor, a few years ago, got to go to Phoenix to visit Beth's brother. And we drove up to Sedona, and I'm not sure how many people have ever been there, but it's just beautiful seeing God's creation. And just the sight was worthy of our attention. We look down into the valleys, and you see the houses, how small they look, and you see the rock formations. It was just amazing. The same way, God's Word is worthy of our attention. So some helps that will help with starting and studying God's Word is you can get biblical dictionaries. Not a Webster's dictionary, but a biblical dictionary. Another thing that I found useful was biblical maps. For instance, when you read through and you read about Babylon, you wonder, where's Babylon? You see where it is in today's time. You can compare times of the Bible to maps of the Bible to the maps of today and see how everything lays out. One that I have in particular is the Atlas of the Bible Lands. It's by Harry Thomas Frank. I'm not sure if that's three guys or if that's one guy, but another one is the Pilgrim's Map of the Holy Lands. It's something that you can put up on your wall. It's pretty interesting. The company that put that out is called the Carpenter's Workshop. I think they're actually in Israel. So a map, a topical analysis. This is another thing that I found pretty useful. Topical Analysis of the Bible is by Walter Elwell. And what that is it has different topics broken out in verses that relate to it. For instance, if you want to study the topic of meditating on God, you can go and find this in this book, and it breaks down meditating on God Himself, meditating on God His Word, and meditating on God His work. And it has verses related to each topic. It makes it really nice for studying God's Word. Another topic in there is God's attitude towards sin. If you want to see the positive and negatives of God's attitude, these topics, the topics are laid out in this book with the verses relating to it. So that's a topical analysis Bible book. Another is a historical timeline. Gospelfolio.com has some decent charts out, some really good charts out there. For $8, you can get a chart to put up on your wall. It has the history of the Bible, and it shows you when different things occurred. And for $12, you can get it laminated. So it's fairly inexpensive, and it can help you quite a bit. And they also have a $4 booklet that goes along with that. And one of the last things I was thinking of was a concordance. I use Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, and that seems to help if you're doing word studies and you want to see where the word love is listed in the Bible. It shows you every instance where love is listed. And then, obviously, highlighters, pens, pencils, and notebooks is another thing that people should use when studying God's Word. So what's needed for knowing God's Word? Well, we need two things. We need knowledge, and we need direction. And I came up with something as I was doing the study that put on your thinking cap, your knowledge cap. Consistency, application, patience, and study. Put on your knowledge cap. We need to consistently read God's Word. We need to learn to apply it to our lives. We need to be patient. We're not going to learn it overnight. You need patience, and then you need to study. You need to study God's Word. So put on your thinking cap when you're going about studying God's Word. And then we need direction. If we don't have direction, Bible study can become drudgery. We need some type of direction. And that goes back to where we spoke of prayer already. So what we know? We know God. The Bible is God's Word to us. It's a divine library of books. You don't want to look at it as one big book. You could, but to make it easier for studying, it's a divine library. Most of the books aren't that big. God's word is worthy of our attention, and there's lots of helpful aids out there. We're so blessed in this country. We have so many things available to us to help us study God's word. And we need our thinking cap, and we need direction. So then, the Bible is broken into a couple categories. Obviously, you have the Old Testament and the New Testament. One thing that I did is I looked at these categories that are listed, and I put them on the binding of my Bible. I write them just on here, and it makes it a little easier. So if I turn to Numbers, I know it's part of the Pentateuch. Or if I turn to 1 Kings, I know it's history. So it makes it really easy for when somebody, when you're listening to a speaker and they turn to something, and you turn to Jeremiah, you can say, oh, it's a major prophet. So it just helps with getting it instilled in your mind how the Bible is laid out. So you have the Old Testament, and it consists of five things. The Pentateuch, and that's Genesis to Deuteronomy. You have history, that's Joshua to Esther. Poetry, it's Job to Song of Solomon. Major prophets, it's Isaiah to Daniel. And minor prophets, it's the rest of the books in the Old Testament. And then the New Testament has four things. You have the Gospels, it's Matthew to John. The book of Acts, then you have the epistles, and then you have the book of Revelation. So there's a few different categories, and like I said, it helped me to write it on the binding of my Bible. Within the categories, there's a vast variety that is within the Bible. You have a variety of contents. The Bible has theology, philosophy, counsel, prediction, history. There's a variety of contents. Then there's a variety of authorships. The Bible is written by prophets, priests, kings, evangelists, apostles. And then there's a variety of circumstances as well, where things, the time things take place, where they take place, the countries, the destinations. This book the Bible consists of 66 books. It has at least 36 different authors, and it takes place over 16 different centuries. So instead of us being overwhelmed, we should be in awe. We should be drawn into reading this. This is very appealing. And again, it's God's word, and it's worthy of our attention. So there's three critical steps when going about studying God's word. There's observation, there's interpretation, and application. So first, observation. The FBI, they have a quiz to train their agents. And what they do is they show them short films or pictures, and they expect them to learn to observe what's in that picture or what's in that film. And they pick things out, such as how many people were walking at on the street, or what side of the street was the man walking the dog. They teach them to look at something and figure out and observe what is exactly there. If we were to take that test, we might get 30% right, but a trained FBI agent will get about 100% right. So they're trained to observe what's there. You don't want to decipher what you were taught was there, but what is there. For instance, a couple months ago, Beth and I had a couple young Mormons come to our house, and they brought with them the Book of Mormon, and then they also brought with them the Bible. And so I asked one of the young guys if I could see his Bible, and I turned to John 1:14, where it talks about the word becoming flesh. And I just talked it over with them. What is this word that the Bible is telling us about? And they both agreed that the word was Jesus. So then I took them to John 1:1, and it says, in the beginning was the word. Word was with God, and the word was God. And they wouldn't admit it. They read that verse, but they added in a God, not God, because they believe that Jesus was a God, as we all are gods, is what they believe. So they were taught something, and that's what they were basing their doctrine on, not on what the Bible teaches. So it's scary. You do not want to do that. If you're uncertain, look in the Bible yourself. We need to learn for ourselves what the Bible says. Observe what it says. So they did a complete 180. They went from telling me when they got there that the Bible was infallible to when they left, they were saying that there was errors in the Bible. So it was sad to see these kids just backpedaling. And basing their eternity on things that they were taught was there, which was wrong, and not what was really there. You got to look at what the context is. A lot of people say that the Gospels are filled with verses that talk about the Bible and explain the Bible. One little verse, for instance, John 3:16 is one verse I read in a book. They said that sums up the Bible, and that's true. It does. But there's a warning to that. You have to look at the author. You have to look at the speaker. And the audience the speaker is speaking to. For instance, many believe John 3:5 says that we have to be baptized in order to be saved. They're looking at one verse, and they're basing their beliefs on that, and you can't do that. Also, John 6, it talks about the body and the blood at the Lord's Supper. They believe that we literally eat the Lord Jesus' flesh and drink his blood at the Lord's Supper, and you can't do that. You can't look at just one verse. A verse out of context is pretext, and you don't want to do that. You want to look at what's before it and after it. So, questions to ask when you read. When we were all growing up, when we were taking a literature class, or even when I was in college, our first our freshman year, we had to go through ways to teach you how to study. And one of the things that they taught us is you ask questions. Who, what, where, when, why, how? Same thing applies here when you're observing a passage. You ask who the passage is written to, who wrote it, who's speaking, and who is it referring to. What's going on in the passage? What type of writing was it? Was it poetry? Was it a sermon? Was it history? Was it doctrine or philosophy? And what the tone of the writer is. Is the writer being sarcastic and rebuking somebody? How is the writer, how was it written? When it was written? Was it written in the past? Was it written for the future? Or was it written in after Christ died? Was it written after Christ died, when the apostles were building the church? When was it written? Was it written before Israel was founded? Was it written during the current Christian era? So you look at when. Where was this passage? Where was it referring to? Was it referring to it being in Jerusalem or in Babylon, or written about wanderings of Israel in the desert? And then how? How did this come about? Did this passage come about due to love, to war, rebellion, or was it divine intervention? And then the last one is why. And then step two is interpretation. You want to look at it and say, what exactly does this passage mean? So you read the context, you perform the observation, and then you interpret the verse. And again, don't rely on a commentary. Find it for yourself. I want to encourage you to read for it yourself. Find out what the Bible is saying. And then apply the passage. What exactly does this passage mean to me? Apply the text. James 1:23 talks about the man who looks at his face in the mirror, and as soon as he turns around, he forgets it. Don't be that man. Don't read a passage and when you walk away from it, forget it. We want to meditate on it. We want to study it. We need to lock it into our hearts. So some helps. Again, it's the thinking cap. Consistency, application, prayer, patience and study. I'm forgetting my own acronym here. Without direction, the Bible's hard to follow, so you want to pray, ask that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. Prayer and Bible study, they work with each other. Prayer is God speaking to us, or prayer is us speaking to God, and Bible study is God speaking to us. It's like cause and effect. The two act and react on each other. The result of prayer is study, and the result of study is prayer. So we need to, again, go to God and ask him, like Psalm 119 says, open my eyes, ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask that he gives you some definite thought for the day on the things that you've read. And then dwell prayerfully. Say, Lord, is this counsel, the thing that I just read, is this counsel? Are you telling me something? Are you warning me of something? Is this a promise? Is this an experience? Are you commanding me to do something? Dwell prayerfully on what you read. And then also you want to link the things that you've learned to things that you already know. So things you're learning today, link them to things that you've learned in the past, and it'll strengthen the chain that you have, the chain of experience in God's Word. And then trust that God will reproduce what you've learned that day in your life. So just pray, Lord, I learned this. This looks like a warning to me. How can I apply this today? What are you telling me? So trust that God will reproduce it in your life. Another help is to read the prophetical and the poetical with the historical. So a lot of people, when they start reading the Bible, like I said earlier, they try to read front to cover, and they stop, you know, mid Genesis or in Numbers. That's a difficult thing to do, to read front to cover. So study a topic and journal your topic and move around in the Bible, and it'll allow you, as God speaks to you, to go through the Bible. If you want to try to do it in a year, there's there's yearly Bibles where you can learn or you can read through things. And within 1 year, you can go through the entire Bible because it breaks down topics for you. Those helps are out there. And the Bible isn't laid out in chronological order. So the next slides are a few examples of studying topics, kind of like jumping around in the Bible, like I was telling you. So if you want to study the formation of Israel, you can look at the history in Exodus and Numbers, and then look at the illustration in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Or if you want to read through about the restoration of Israel, you can look at the history in Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, or you can look at the illustration in Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and some of the later Psalms. So here's a challenge to perform a word study. Again, this is where the concordance comes in. If you want to study the word lamb, and you can go through and see that lamb occurs quite a bit in the Old Testament, occurs again a lot in Revelation. Study the word lamb and see that you'll start seeing that the Bible is showing you a picture of Christ in the Old Testament and then in the New Testament. So do a word study. You can also go into Psalms and highlight all the words blessed. You can go to Joshua 23 and circle all the occasions of the Lord our God, that phrase. You'll start to see as you study God's word how he's explaining things. One thing that I found helpful was in 1 Kings 12, it talks about Rehoboam and Jeroboam. We went through that in BSF this year. And by highlighting Rehoboam and underlining Jeroboam, it helped to see how these leading names, how they correlated with the passages. It just helps lay it out. I have a hard time when I read the Old Testament seeing some of these names. I get completely confused. But this is one way to help me is to highlight and circle names that are in passages. You can go into Ezra 7 and underline the phrases of God. But here's a few warnings. One is base your theology and doctrine on things found in the Bible. I've had discussions with people before where they can, like end times discussions, they can tell you what volume of the Left Behind series something is in, but they can't tell you where it's in the Bible. And don't fall into that trap of reading books about the Bible. Read the Bible. Francine Rivers is a great author. Beth reads a lot of her books, and they're coming out with a men's series that I hear is supposed to be pretty good. And that, too. You don't want to get caught up in reading these over and over and over instead of going to the Bible. These books are good, and they're even better if they point you back to the Bible. So don't fall into traps about reading books about the Bible instead of reading the Bible. And again, reading is not studying. So you want to apply things. Don't forget them like the man in James where he forgets his face as soon as he turns from it. Study God's word. So that's reading. That's studying the Bible as a whole. Now memorization. I told you before that Beth got this book from Janet Pope, His Word in My Heart. If you can meditate without memorizing, you are a very rare breed. I personally can't do it. Not a whole lot of people can. It's difficult to meditate on something if you don't have it locked into your heart. I struggle with this where I'll sit and try to meditate on something, and about a minute and a half later, I'm thinking about how I'm going to beat traffic or what bills are due and, you know, the honey-do list. I have so many things that are on my mind that I have a hard time meditating. I'm very easily distracted. And so this is the memorization. I'm glad that I, again, got to speak on this because it kind of encouraged me, some of the things that I've learned. I have one question. If people are embarrassed, you don't want to raise your hand, you don't have to. But how many people have honestly memorized an entire book of the Bible? Has anybody? Jim Starr? Anybody else? Okay. So a lot of people say, I can never memorize a book in the Bible. How many of you think you can't? Anybody think they can't memorize a book in the Bible? I thought I couldn't either until I started reading this. Here's a long-term challenge. For instance, the book of Philippians, it has 104 verses. If you study two verses a week, only two verses, you can have the book of Philippians memorized in 1 year. Sounds simple, right? To me, it starts making sense. This is where you implement CAPS again. Consistency, application, patience, and study. And the good thing is, or one encouraging thing is there's a lot of books that have fewer verses than Philippians. So, what can we do? We honestly, I think we as an assembly and people that are visiting, we honestly, I think, could in 10 years study 10 books of the Bible. I think it's doable. Janet Pope has memorized over 19 books of the Bible. She has them. She reviews them daily. It's tough, yeah. It's taken her years to do it, but it can be done. And I think of the kids downstairs. I think if I count right, there's like 18 or 19 kids downstairs that are under the age of 4. Before they're 15 years old, they can, if we do this, they can say, there's people in my church that have 10 books of the Bible memorized. Imagine the encouragement we'd be to them. Growing up, they know that people can memorize books of the Bible. That'd be a tremendous influence. And then I think of, you know, Trevor and Garrett going to high school and the excuses I'm going to get about them studying and me not understanding them with studying. Well, hopefully I can go into this and say, hey guys, for the last 10 years, I studied 10 books or I memorized 10 books of the Bible. You can do your science homework. You can study for this test. So I'm kind of using it as an investment for later. So that's a long-term goal, memorizing books. A short-term goal is memorizing passages. One passage that Beth, the book tells Beth, told Beth to start memorizing is Psalm 1. It's 6 verses. She's got that memorized. Psalm 121, it's 8 verses long. Psalm 4, Psalm 23, these are passages that we all can study and memorize. You can memorize the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 to 7, or Stephen's defense in Acts. That's a short-term goal. We can do this. 2 verses a day for a year, you can study Philippians, or you can memorize Philippians. So it sounds easy, but where do you start, right? Well, the one thing is you got to get a version of the Bible and stick with it. If you're a King James fan or an NIV fan or a New American Standard Bible fan, you got to choose a version and stick with it. The second thing is 3x5 cards. This is one that Beth gave me. It's got the 3x5 cards spiral bound. So if you drop them, you don't have to worry about them going all over the place. You write out what you want to learn for that day on the card. In the upper left-hand corner, you just put the verse number. And you don't want to sit and study the passages along with the references, because that takes away from what God is trying to tell you. You just study the whole passage without the verse numbers. When you write them down up here, it's more of just a reference point, right? It's just so you understand where you kind of get an idea where you're at. And when we lock away God's word in our heart, it allows us to continually turn to God's word throughout the day. So you get God's word, you study God's word, you memorize God's word, and you need to lock it into your long-term memory. How do you do it? You review daily. You daily review God's word. And you do an entire chapter at a time, without doing the verse and the reference. If you review 21 verses, or a 21-verse chapter, your review should take about 3 minutes. That's very easy. If you before you leave for work, if you got an hour commute like I do, you can go through that verse 20 times, 10 times, easily. So you daily review what you're studying and what you're memorizing. The Pledge of Allegiance, I remember that. I probably will never forget it. Why? Because I had it beat into my head 5 days a week for 12 years. We stood and did it. We were expected to do that every day. I'm glad for my freedom, so I don't mean it like I just said it, but we had it locked into our memory because we repetitively did it. That's how you move information from your short-term memory into your long-term memory. Repetition. You want to discipline your mind. If you think that you can memorize things by going over it twice a week, it's not going to happen. You need to daily review it. You need to discipline your mind. Twice a week will not cut it. Some of you may be smarter than me, but I know I can't do that. If you're anything like me, your Bible knowledge is just like a big tangled pile of extension cords, and sometimes you don't know where to plug it in. By applying these things, by putting on your thinking cap, you can start untangling that pile of extension cords, and you can start, when somebody mentions something, instantly a verse should be able to come to your mind and say, this is how you can apply it to your life, or this is one thing that may help you. So God promises to do a few things. He promises to show himself to us through his word. This is a promise. It isn't impossible to study God's word and to memorize God's word, but it isn't easy either. He's not going to make it simple. Last week, John Thompson was talking about worship, and he said that man wasn't created to be forced to bow down. God allows us to choose to worship. And in the same manner, he allows us to choose to study his word. He's not creating robots. I talked with a friend just a few weeks ago that isn't a believer, and that's one thing he said is, why did God create us like this? Why couldn't he just lay it out easy for us to where we did exactly what he wanted us to do? No hurt, no sorrows. And that's what I told him. I said, God doesn't want robots. He gave us a free will, so we choose to love him. The same way, he's given us a free will to study his word. So in closing, there's a few things. Learn from the Bible and not books about the Bible. You want to get those helps. We talked about the historical maps, $8, $12 laminated. You get the atlas that shows you biblical times and today's times. You can compare the two. You get a Christian dictionary of concordance. These things will help you. Profound changes will occur if we challenge ourselves to memorize and study God's word. And one thing that somebody told me a while back, a long time ago when Beth and I first got married, I was telling them about plans I had. I thought that I was going to change everything, change the world. He said, just in all of it, don't sell yourself short. And that's one thing we all need to do. Don't sell ourselves short. We all can do this. Young or old, we should be able to memorize God's word. By studying and memorizing God's word, we'll come away with a deeper understanding of the depths of our sin, God's disgust towards it, and what it cost Jesus to release us from it. I got that out of one of Bill McDonald's books. I thought that was pretty interesting when I read it. We get a deeper understanding of the depths of our sin. I think we all need to learn that and see that. And saved or unsaved, it will help us with our daily walk. We can see, man, the stuff we're dirty, rotten sinners, the stuff that we've done, and Jesus released us from it. It's just amazing. For those of you who are uncertain, there may be people who are uncertain about their relationship with Christ. I've got a challenge for you too. Don't look at the Bible and think it's overwhelming. There's one book. Just go to the book of John. Read the book of John a couple times. I think it's about 45 pages in my Bible. You can get through it in a few days. You can get through it in 8 hours, how fast a reader you are. Read the book of John. Don't leave the book of John. Just continually read that, and you'll start to see that Christ died for you. And I'm not looking to cause or not telling you to have a religious experience. People go to some of these big events and have a religious experience, and then they forget it as soon as they leave. I want to encourage you to have a personal experience if you're uncertain. And there's another book that I read had this little prayer, so to say, or thing to ask God if you're uncertain. It says, God, I'm not sure you exist, but if you do, and Jesus is your son, and he can give me, as he claims, eternal life, whatever that is, speak to me, reveal yourself to me, show me that Jesus is your son. If you show me, I am prepared to do your will, whatever it turns out to be. And Christ guarantees that God will show you. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you that we do have a Bible to read, and we have the helps that we have. And Lord, we just pray that we will all be encouraged to read your word and to daily meditate on it, and that we'll all understand that memorization is key, that we can keep your word in our heart, Lord. And we just thank you so much for your son and what he did for us, Lord. We are just in awe of the fact that he laid down his life for sinners, Lord. And Father, we think of Christians that are in other parts of the world that are working on translations for people. We just pray that you will encourage them, their long journeys to translate for people that have never heard of Christ. We just pray that you will encourage them so that these people can have your word, that they too can study. And Lord, again, we thank you for your son. And it's in his name we do pray. Amen.